This is Morning Edition on WNYC. It's been just over a month since the death of Kyle Coppin in Brooklyn. He was the emotionally unstable 18-year-old who was shot by police officers who thought he was holding a gun. It turned out to be a hairbrush. The incident drew attention to the NYPD's methods for dealing with the mentally ill. But as WNYC's Arun Venugopal reports, there is a different way, and it's being embraced by cities across the nation.
911 emergency police fire ambulance.
Yes, this is the police. Standard 3 calls and operator being by.
A call comes into 911 in Memphis, Tennessee. The caller tells the operator he's worried about a man who's threatening his mother with a knife and becoming increasingly agitated.
I wish you come here immediately. I'm telling you something. This man can hurt somebody.
Okay, has he taken some medication?
Yes, he do. But he ain't had it, and he's been drinking.
The operator asks the caller a few other questions before dispatching several police cars to the scene. Those include what are known as crisis intervention team officers, who are specially trained to deal with the mentally ill.
149, 159, and 157 Delta, an armed mental consumer, has on a red and black shirt, blue shorts. He's armed with a knife. He's off his medication. Diagnosis is paranoid schizophrenic.
In the end, the man with the knife was subdued by Memphis police officers, who took him to the hospital. No charges were filed. While this kind of confrontation is common enough for police officers across the country, the call touches upon policy differences between the NYPD and other police departments in terms of how they deal with the mentally ill. The death last month of 18-year-old Kyle Coppin in New York highlighted those differences. When Coppin's mother called 911, she didn't mention his history of mental illness, and unlike in Memphis and other cities, the 911 operator didn't ask. The officers that the operator dispatched to the scene were thus not specially trained to deal with what they call EDPs, or emotionally disturbed persons. When they realized what they were up against, they called for help, but the specialists took time to arrive. Meanwhile, Kyle Coppin escalated his confrontation with the police, who opened fire after he pulled out what first appeared to be a gun, but turned out to be a hairbrush. Coppin's death is just the latest in a number of high-profile incidents involving the NYPD and mentally ill people. But in other cities, such cases have forced local police departments to change their methods. In Memphis, the turning point was in 1987, when the police confronted a 27-year-old man wielding a large knife.
After a very brief encounter, this individual tragically was shot and killed by our officers, which started a community outcry.
Major Sam Cochran is the coordinator of the Memphis Police Department's CIT, or Crisis Intervention Team. The unit was the nation's first and was developed in concert with mental health advocates and providers. CIT officers are highly trained and make up nearly a quarter of the dispatch officers on the force. But the emphasis goes beyond the numbers. By giving CIT officers more authority in situations involving the mentally ill, and downplaying an aggressive approach in favor of a more empathic one.
Sometimes we allow the uniform to do the talking and not the person that's underneath the uniform. They're there to help the person and there to keep this person safe. The CIT officer is not only working with the individual in crisis, but he's also having to monitor to make sure that the other officers that are present are not feeding into exciting the individual further.
According to Major Cochran, the CIT program has been embraced by at least 600 police departments in the last 20 years. It's now promoted as best practice by the National Alliance on Mental Illness, in part because it maintains close contact between the police and the family members of the mentally ill. In Memphis, the first 6 years of the program saw a 30-40% decrease in injuries to police officers. Hobsi Kaba is a CIT training coordinator for Miami-Dade County, which now has about 1,400 CIT officers spread across a number of local police departments. She says one of the main lessons she gives officers is to slow it down.
You're yelling and he's yelling, it's only going to escalate and get worse. You're the rational one. You need to slow him down. Do the opposite of what you were trained to do.
The program has also resulted in fewer people recycling through the justice system.
Since we started the program, our recidivism to jail has dropped from 80% to 17%. If it's a misdemeanor, we're asking the officer to use their discretion and decide, you know, am I going to arrest or am I going to divert this person to treatment?
Mental illness is not a crime.
The death of Kyle Coppin prompted mental health advocates to protest the NYPD's policies. Lisa Ortega, of Rights for Imprisoned People with Psychiatric Disabilities, said the solution was to embrace crisis intervention teams.
NYPD is trained in military, you know, techniques, and this is a more compassionate, loving way of dealing with people. They really are resistant. They like things the way they are, and they don't want to change, and this is the Big Apple, and their excuse is that there's just too many people to have that be effective.
The NYPD did not grant any interviews on how it deals with people with mental illness. But in an email, police spokesman Paul Brown said all officers receive 14 and a half hours of relevant training in the academy, and more as they climbed the ranks. He also defended the performance of the department's highly trained emergency service units, which are directed to scenes involving emotionally disturbed persons, or EDPs. There is a protocol in place where officers are instructed to use a minimum amount of force needed to protect EDPs. In the first 11 months of this year, the NYPD handled nearly 82,000 actions involving EDPs. Brown said virtually all of those took place without further incident.
I believe that it's not fair for the NYPD to make a statement like that.
Amanda Masters is an attorney with New York Lawyers for the Public Interest.
In the course of our litigation, they've admitted that they hadn't done any analysis of how well their policy was working.
Masters represents the mother of Kevin Cerbelli, a delusional man who walked into an NYPD precinct house in 1998 and stabbed an officer before he was shot dead. In the lawsuit she's leading, Masters claims that regular officers are not trained to de-escalate situations involving the mentally ill.
Instead, they're taught this policy of encirclement, where they surround a person, they're shouting, they have guns drawn. It heightens the danger and the anxiety for everyone involved.
Her claims have been backed up by a former NYPD official. John Pritchard served as the first deputy police commissioner in the mid-90s, second in rank to Commissioner Ray Kelly. In a lengthy court document, Pritchard said the NYPD's encirclement policy is a recipe for disaster because it poses risks of crossfire and tends to drive up anxiety levels for everyone involved. He blamed the NYPD for Kevin Cerbelli's death and said his death was avoidable. Philip Kirshner is with the New York State chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Several years ago, he underwent a severe crisis related to his depression. He considered committing suicide by cop, which involves provoking the police into opening fire. He found himself at the center of a police encirclement.
They almost gave me what I wanted if it wasn't for a sergeant that toned everything down quickly.
Kirshner claims most officers don't know how to deal with such situations, and the emergency service units are frequently unavailable. But he said the NYPD and the city are unwilling to devote the necessary resources to changing the system and embracing the CIT method. According to Jennifer Parrish at the Urban Justice Center, 29% of the city's jail inmates sought mental health services last month. About a third of those, or nearly 10% of the jail population, would be considered seriously mentally ill. Even those who criticize the NYPD's methods note that the police are just one part of a larger problem, where the mentally ill fail to get adequate treatment in their community, and the justice system is forced to bear the burden. According to Lieutenant Rick Wall of the Los Angeles Police Department, the two largest facilities in the country for housing the mentally ill are Los Angeles County's Detention Center and Rikers Island in New York.
There's not a state hospital, there's not a county hospital, there's no mental health hospital in the nation that can rival either of those facilities when it comes to sheer numbers. Because we're not putting the money into the mental health resources that need to be there, we're not taking care of the outpatient treatment that needs to happen, that these people are becoming involved in criminal activity, and they're ending up in jail.
The NYPD is currently investigating the death of Kyle Coppin. For WNYC, I'm Arun Venugopal.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition, WNYC's Bob Henley examines the controversy that surrounds the tens of millions of dollars paid out each year to settle thousands of civil claims brought against the NYPD.